We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
All right, it's 99.1 PLR. I have got a self-described dad band in here, punk folk. Finally got it out. I made it, you guys. Band, it's Morningside. What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, good morning.
How's it going?
How we doing? All right. So you guys reached out to me a little while ago. You've got a new single out right now, but I want to, first of all, as a dad myself, focus on the dad band label. And the connotations, some of which are negative, that come along with it. How did this band get started? How do you start a band, I guess is what I'm asking, in the dad phase of life? Because I know for me, I've been playing in bands since I was like 13 years old. And it was when it was after my son was born that I actually started to phase it out a little bit. So how does that happen?
I think COVID took a big part in it, a big role in it.
Yeah.
Just a lack of anything else to do. And how it started was Matt and my son, Matt's daughter and my son, went to preschool together. And Matt moved from San Francisco to Connecticut. And we were at like a preschool get-together. Yeah. And he was like, hey, I played music. I played in a band. I wanted to do that, get something going. And we basically started jamming in my backyard, and that eventually turned into us playing cover shows as a true dad band.
Yeah.
And then as COVID hit, just started writing music and throwing out basically the first 20 songs that we wrote that
sure
were terrible.
Oh yeah, you got to.
And then settling on some stuff that we actually liked. And taking the leap and recording it and trying to come here and talk to you about it.
Right. And you know what? I'm sorry. And that was Bobby talking right now. We also have Ian. We also have Matt who's sitting over here. And it's funny. You said you started playing songs outside. Was this during COVID or was this post COVID? Because playing songs with your buddy outside sounds like the most COVID jam activity that you could
do. 10 of us all hanging out in Bobby's backyard because, yeah, you're too afraid to be inside all together. Especially when we all have little kids. They all have a million germs and you're trying to, like, keep it contained. But, yeah, that's how it's
going. So is everyone's kids, like, of a similar age? Are they all, like elementary, preschool age?
Except for Ian.
Yeah, and I joined the band a little bit later, and my kids are a little older.
Got you. All right, so talk to me about your musical backgrounds. What instrument is everyone playing and where did you guys come from? Was like a band thing that, you know, you had coming up your entire life? Were you always in bands or was this something new for you?
Yeah, I didn't start playing. I play guitar, as Matt. Didn't start until I was about 18.
That's not too late, though.
It was like something I picked up in college and, you know, you have a lot of time. I played in a cover band there. And then I just kind of kept it going after college through working. It was always a thing to do and my hobby. And then, as Bobby said, when I got here, it was, I got to keep this going.
Yeah.
You know, let me find some people that play music.
And yeah.
So it's always been a thing for me.
Ian, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing when I was 9. And
what's your instrument?
I'm a drummer.
Okay.
And percussion.
Yeah.
Actually got into Juilliard.
Stop.
And decided that I didn't want to rely on music for an income.
Okay.
So I pursued a different career. And
do you mind if I ask what the other career is?
Yeah, no, I work in a biotech company. I develop treatments for cancer.
Oh, so a hard left turn then from the entire. Oh my gosh, that's awesome! Great work, though.
But I've continued to play music throughout the time, and it's been great for me. I mean, I always feel like there's something missing if I'm not playing music.
Yeah.
In my life, and it's been a little bit of a challenge in Connecticut. There's not so much original music going around. I played in a pretty successful band before, and they got a deal and they moved to Nashville. They didn't have kids, you know, it was one of those things where like they took off and I was real excited when I met these guys to kind of get back in the scene again.
Totally. Bobby, what about you?
I have zero experience whatsoever. I literally picked up a guitar for the first time in my 20s, like mid 20s, when I was living in New York. I took maybe like two or three lessons. Never followed up on it.
Yeah.
Just played around with it myself. And I more took to writing. I was always into creative writing. I went to NYU for college, took a few classes there. They have a great film school and got to take a few classes at that school and really kind of learn creative writing and just enjoyed the songwriting process. And then when I met these guys and was able to have everything that was kind of going on in my head come out on paper was amazing and kind of went from there.
So this is fascinating to me. So did you, all right, so you start learning in your mid-20s. Now, yeah. are you writing and playing this whole time? Is this a regular thing? Or did it like, was there like a quick burst at the beginning and then just it sat on the, you know, on the nightstand forever until you guys started this band now?
Maybe two or three songs written in my mid-20s. And then, yeah, not until COVID did everything else kind of come out.
That's awesome, man. I love that. I mean, listen, COVID sucked. I think that's probably the understatement of the year. But there was so much fun stuff. Because I actually started this podcast, or what has turned into this podcast, a version of it, during COVID as well. I was in my basement, and I was doing these things over Zoom and everything like that. You know what I mean? Because you couldn't actually talk to people. What about like gigs and things like that? Talk to me about early gigs. Because I know, like, from my perspective of like what the Connecticut music scene is, it's fun, it's vibrant, but it's a little weird. It's kind of hard to find your way in. How did you guys start playing, like, out, you know?
I mean, initially we played for friends' birthday parties.
Yeah.
You know, like gigs for 50 to 100 people. Eventually we started playing out a little bit more at local bars. Played up at Sugar Hollow. We've done.
Oh, in Danbury, yeah. Is that place cool? I haven't been up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool place.
Okay.
Played a bunch of shows at the Black Duck in Westport, which has been really kind to us.
Yeah, I love that place.
We're actually playing a Halloween show on the 1st at Viva's in Westport. So
nice.
But really our focus over the last year and a half has been recording this album and starting to play that out more. Where did that sound
emerge from? You know what I mean? Because I played actually just last night, if you're listening to this on Monday the 14th when we recorded it, I played it last night on PLR, The Flood. Tell me about the sound of the band. Where does that sound come from? Was this like a meeting with you guys? Like, hey, I want to do this. Did it happen organically through jamming? Bobby, was it all a result of your writing? Like, where did that come from?
I feel like a lot of it came out of Bobby's head as he started writing and jamming. And he definitely has a vision, which I think we all have loved. And I think then it's also been an influence of all of our musical backgrounds in San Francisco for 5 or 6 years. I was in a 90s rock cover band.
Nice.
And so I feel like I try to bring a little bit of rock to balance out Bobby's folk indie vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a good mix.
Right. You get like some Third Eye Blind mixed in with some like Mumford and Sons.
Exactly.
And there you go. Dash of U2 in there maybe.
Yeah.
I heard some U2. I felt like I heard a little U2 last night. It was pretty
good.
We'll
take it.
It was good. Yeah, dude. Absolutely. So tell me about the recording and everything. Actually, before we started recording this, you guys were talking about one of my favorite bands from Norwalk, Similar Kind. and just hanging out at Factory Underground and stuff like that. Did you guys record everything there, Factory Underground?
Everything there. Ethan, the owner of Factory Underground, has produced the whole album for us. And Tom, who has mixed everything, recorded everything, also co-producer on it.
Yeah.
So they've just been really amazing to work with. And it's amazing to have that facility basically down the street from us. And yeah, we ran into Ben, the bassist from Similar Kind, who happens to work there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Helped us out on a few things.
Yeah, dude, it's great. The Norwalk Scene. What's your favorite like town for live music in Connecticut? Do you guys have one? Norwalk's great. You know, there's Black Rock. A lot of people, you know, in Bridgeport, a lot of people talk about New Haven too. Do you guys have a preference? Not even just to play, but even just to go like hang out.
I love FTC.
You know, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's both venues they have there are just great artists, very intimate, a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right. Well, so tell me about the recording process for The Flood. Well, actually, you know what, Bobby? Tell me about writing it specifically. Because
this particular one?
Yeah. The Flood in particular. There's the line about a million little camera phones. You got like a Two Roads reference in there. It's a very focused, like, this is, you know, this is a Connecticut dude talking about some Connecticut stuff kind of thing. Tell me about the writing.
Yeah, it happened right down the road.
Yeah, right, exactly.
My wife and I were on our way to the, I think it was like a year and a half ago now, maybe 2 years ago, the Noah Kahn show at the Hartford Healthcare amphitheater in Bridgeport.
Yeah. And not this summer, but the last. Yeah. Or springish,
yeah.
Maybe.
He played MSG this year. So yeah. Big graduation for him. And we're on our way. I'm a huge fan. My wife's a huge fan. And yeah, psyched to go, have two little kids, so don't get out of the house all that often.
Totally.
To go. And as most married people would understand, on our way there, got into a huge argument. And what was supposed to be this incredible night of just watching this guy who's kind of like a modern poet that we both really enjoy, it was just an emotional roller coaster for both of us.
Oh gosh.
And you know, when I say tears in your Two Roads, we're literally like at the Two Roads station, you know, just having it out. And there are 5,700 camera phones, is that there's 5,700 people in at that stadium or at that amphitheater. And it feels like, you know, that everybody, well, no one's there to watch you and everybody's watching the show.
Yeah.
It feels like everybody's eyes are on you when you're making like a public spectacle.
Oh God. Yeah. And you've got, you know, like everyone's right. Cause everyone's got their phone out. You're wondering who's catching this on. Cause all it takes is just that one person to be like, hold on, let's turn away from Noah Kahan and see what is happening to this person's marriage at the end of the bar right here. Like what's going on. Right. It only takes that one person. Yeah. That's tough though, man. Those night ruiner type of arguments. Like, you know, it's, I've been married. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
All I'll say.
No, but, you know,
married before, man.
Happily married, still am. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's just those, you get into it sometimes. And came home that night after the show, was inspired, wrote the whole thing that night. It was actually, we were going into the studio to record our first six songs, I think a week later. Mm. And I brought it to the guys a week before, and everybody's like, we can't learn a new song to record in 5 days. And I was like, I think this is a good one, and let's give it a shot. And ended up being the first single.
That's the story, right? That's like anytime you read about a band making a record, you watch like Behind the Music, it's like, no, the record was done. I'm telling you, it was pressed. We were ready to go. And then he comes in with this song at the last minute. That's always the hit.
Bobby has a little bit of an issue of writing too many songs. I think he's at like 50 plus at this point.
Oh man!
And every practice, he's like, "I got a new one. You got to check this out. It's gonna be a winner.
This is it. This is the one, you guys.
So we have to rein it in and pick the good ones."
I love that. Is that hard? Is that hard to like constantly just be like, you know, because when, you know, when you write a song, you're kind of like, this is my child, and then you bring it to the group, and they're like, no, not that one. I don't think so. Is that a tough process, or is that?
I think I'm more critical of them than anybody else.
Okay.
So if I'm willing to share it, then I feel like they've had pretty good buy-in. And a lot of it just evolves sonically. You know, when when there's like a bass line that kicks into a song, we have our second single that's coming out, and there's just this like killer keys feature that completely makes the song.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just didn't know it had that potential until you hear that, and it comes along later in the process. So
You know, like the one person bringing you know, just bringing a new part, anything, and they can completely change. Have you ever gone back and like changed the arrangement of a song because of that, or even the lyrics, like, you know, lyrical content due to that?
I don't think lyrical content, arrangements, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think.
I feel like the lyrics are kind of the heart of the song. And so I feel like once we have that down, it sticks. And
there's
we're trying to create a sound around it.
There's a lot of storytelling there.
Yeah.
And that's, I have always been the type of music fan where lyrics are really important to me. You know, I love singer-songwriters. I love people that are telling a story through their songs. So if I can do that for other people, I think that's my main goal.
Yeah, yeah. Who are you guys listening to now? Like, just, you know, personally, even not even in reference to the band.
Whoever my 4-year-old is in love with at the
right,
moment. That's
right. Okay. No,
I'm not allowed to listen to my own music.
The Moana soundtrack. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I get it.
Yes. He's really into like Walk the Moon right now. I try to like impart some good musical taste on him, so I'm not listening to Disney all the time. So he's got some good taste.
I've got my 5-year-old into Tom Morello right now.
Nice.
And that's just I play him the YouTube videos. I think it's just, he's like, wait, this guy just makes insane random noise and everybody loves him for it. I can do that. I can make insane random noise with my guitar.
There's a great YouTube video of Tom Morello and Springsteen playing Ghost of Tom Joad. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No,
where
that's
he just like goes off on it. It's amazing.
And if he talks about it, did you see the one where he did you see him on Stern talking about that? He did he did sound check with Springsteen, and he played it really straight. And he could tell the entire band was like, oh, this is Tom Morello. Okay, whatever. Like it died. And so when he went live, he was like, no, like, fuck it. I'm just going to, you know, scratch and do all of my crazy, weird stuff. And that huge tone on Like a Stone and everything like that.
That's nuts.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Well, what shows do you guys have coming up?
So we have that show on the first, and then we haven't booked anything else. So we're in contact with other venues right now, trying to line stuff up.
Nice, man. Well, hey, listen, I mean, let's talk after this. I know everybody, for better or for worse, who works in local music bars around here. You know what I mean? Let's get this out here. The Flood is the newest single. Morningside. You guys have an album name yet? I know you said fall. It was coming out.
No, not yet.
Okay. And as yet to be named album coming out hopefully in the fall of 2024, maybe early 2025. But yeah, Bobby, Ian, Matt, thank you guys so much for coming in and talking to me, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need when you need them at a great price. Plus, when you buy 2 select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.